This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bisexuality.
Triple Bypass.
The best of both worlds.
Triple Bypass.
Triple Bypass.
Triple Bypass.
Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people and the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nations and pay our respects to elders past, present and future. We also pay our deepest respects to Indigenous people who might be listening today and the brother boys and sister girls of the First Nations community. We acknowledge this land was never ceded, always was, always will be Aboriginal lands.
Yeah. Baby, don't make me spell it out for you. All of the feelings that I got for you can't be explained, but I can try for you. Yeah, baby, don't make me spell it out for you. You keep on asking me the same questions.
Why?
And second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression that you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
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 Uh-huh. So good, so good, so fucking real. Uh-huh. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
You know I love it, so please don't stop it.
You got me right here in your jean pocket. Laying your body on a shag carpet. Ooh. You know I love it, so please don't stop it. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better.
Oh.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
The way you make me feel. That's right, dear listeners. You've tuned in to Triple Bypass, the show for the bisexuals, by the bisexuals, but also for the pansexuals, polysexuals, omnisexuals, queers. It's really the show for everybody because we're not one to just pick one. Now, thank you so much to Gracie over from Urban Dreaming. And if you're listening in and you're thinking, it's the last Tuesday of the month, why am I hearing Ruby and not the dulcet tones of Jennifer? And you'd be right to wonder that. So this is a special edition of Representation Hour because dear Jen is off saving the world, as she does. In what way, I do not know, nor could I say if I did. It's her secret. But I'm here to talk about, to continue her wonderful tradition of going into popular bi-plus characters. And I chose that song, Make Me Feel, not just because Janelle Monáe is everything to me, as is that song, but because I'm going to be talking about characters and people that are my bi-cons or my bisexual icons because of how they make me feel. And I thought that was an appropriate song, particularly that line, so good, so fucking real. Because sometimes you need a bit of representation to feel real, to know that what's happening to me and what's happening in my life does exist. It's not just me imagining it. These sort of things have happened before and will happen again. So I couldn't just pick one genre for my bi-cons, which is typical again, but the four people I've chosen come from history, from comics, from television, and from today. They're real, they're not real, they're fiction, they're actors, they're writers, but I'm really excited to share them with you because these are four bi-cons that have been a huge part of my own journey with my sexuality. But also, it's not just about me. I want to hear from you. I'd love to know if you have any bi-cons, people or characters that have had an impact on you, on your journey to understanding yourself and celebrating yourself, and characters or people that have made you proud to be bi or pan or just have made you laugh. Let me know. You can, as always, email me onair@joy.org.au or shoot me a text at 0419-569-949. I'd love to hear from you. But I'll be starting with one of my literary heroes, the incredible bisexual, polyamorous, and rather tragic writer, Virginia Woolf. Now, I've loved Virginia Woolf before I'd even read any of her things, and not just because Nicole Kidman did a rather incredible, again, tragic performance of her in The Hours. I love Virginia Woolf because I read a play called Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf by Albee, and I liked the idea of a writer who was so prolific in her feminism that she was making people afraid of her. And then I found out more as I started to look into her, and I grew up and I was told by a respected teacher of mine to look at A Room of One's Own, which is an essay written by Virginia about the reasons why she has been able to produce the work she has and what it takes for women to really be able to unlock their creative potential, which is enough money to live on and space, A Room of One's Own. And it's incredible. She looks into the effects of the lack of these things on writers like Jane Austen and the Brontes, and talks about what if Shakespeare had been born as a woman and Virginia and what would have ended up with her. So then I found out, as I looked more into Virginia Woolf herself, and this was only quite recently because she was popping up whenever I looked up bisexual people in history, Virginia Woolf's name definitely jumped in there. And I found out she'd been part of a writers' group called the Bloomsbury Group, or Bloomsbury Set, which was a collection of English writers, intellectuals and philosophers and artists who all believed above all else on the importance of the arts. It's also widely accepted that the Bloomsbury Group had extremely modern standards towards feminism, sexuality and relationships. And the group believed in pleasure, and this was a quote from a book by C.R. Snow. They tried to get the maximum pleasure out of their personal relationships. If this meant triangles or more complicated geometric figures, well then, one accepted that too. And then her aristocratic husband, Harold Nilsson, who was also a member of the Set, was also bisexual. And it seems that for the entirety of his marriage to Virginia, he was both extremely supportive, not just of her and the struggle she had with her mental health, but with the fact that they had a very open marriage and that they both were enjoying relationships outside of their marriage, and that that was in no way impacting on their love for each other. And the group's modern attitudes towards feminism and sexuality was actually what first opened Virginia Woolf up to her to having a relationship with a younger woman, Vita Sackville West. And they began a quite intimate and sexual relationship together in 1922. And apparently, according to a letter written by her husband, they consummated their relationship at least twice. So obviously there was a lot of communication going on there. And I respected that too. It was incredible to think of this author who had come out at this time that was in so many ways so constricting on sexuality, on women. And yet he was obviously a woman who was married to a man and who she could openly talk to about having sex with her female lover, who was also a writer. I thought that was wonderful. But the depth of the relationship went a lot far beyond physical. It seemed that Sackville West was also a huge supporter of Virginia and of her writing. And in fact, she was one of the people who told Virginia that her writing was not having an impact on her mental health, because a lot of people were telling her to stop because she had been suffering from mental breakdowns from when she was 13. And it was 6 years after they first met that in 1928, Wolfe published a book called Orlando. Now, you may have heard of this book. You also may have seen the film with Tilda Swinton. But it's a very highly regarded story, which is told the story of Orlando, who's born male, but magically becomes a woman at 30. And then he lives on for 300 years without aging and engages in relationships with both genders. And this was written in 1928. And I think that's quite, the older I get, the more extraordinary that truly seems. And that book is still held up as a touchstone for a lot of people into looking at the understanding even then of the fluidity of gender and of the moving we have between those. And it also just seems like a much nicer version of Dorian Gray, rather than instead of going off and abusing people because he can. Orlando just wants to enjoy life as much as he possibly can without having huge impacts. In fact, the book was inspired by Sackville West. And Vita San called the book the longest and most charming love letter in literature. So this entire book about this incredible person who moves through gender and through the world with multiple partners was based on this relationship that Virginia Woolf had with Vita. And also, I imagine, the relationships she had in her life, which would have taught her that, firstly, that she could love beyond gender, the intricacies of different loves with genders, but also that she could have a loving marriage and still have this wonderful relationship. And there are a lot of love letters between both Vita and Virginia. And here's an excerpt from one that Virginia wrote in 1927. "Look here, Vita. Throw over your man and we'll go to Hampton Court and dine on the river together and walk in the garden at the moonlight and come home late and have a bottle of wine and get tipsy and I'll tell you all the things I have in my head. Millions, myriads. They won't stare by day, only by the dark on the river. Think of that. Throw over your man, I say, and come." And come. So there you go. Virginia Woolf, not just the woman with the nose in the hours, a bisexual, polyamorous feminist whose writings explored and celebrated the fluidity of gender, of sexuality, a woman who wrote clearly and with passionate precision on the need for women's financial independence, on the capabilities that we had at a time even then that was extremely stifling for a lot of women in ways that, honestly, we still see it being now. Truly, we could see why a play written in the 1950s in the United States would be called Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Because I can see why many men would be afraid of a woman like that. Now, of course, unfortunately, the ending was not a happy one. And I think that was important as well to discuss in my understanding of my writing and of my sexuality and of my gender. These things have become more and more important to me to look at insofar as how long these ideas have been explored, because it is that when my own doubts start to creep up, when I start to think, should I just pick one? Am I just confused? There's that little voice in my head saying, people have been talking about this for a long, long, long time. And you're not alone in these experiences. In fact, you should try writing about them someday. And that is why Virginia Woolf is one of my bicons. I'll be right back. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy, and this song is Virginia Woolf by the Indigo Girls. Thank you.
love is your diary, and that's how I got to know you. The key to the room of your own and a mind without end. And here's a young girl on a kind of a telephone.
Excellent. I'm so proud to support it too. Volunteering is why Joy is doing what it can. And that's why this show is on air right now. This is Triple Bypass. And I'm Ruby, and you're listening to the Representation Hour. Triple Bypass is the show for the by the bisexuals, for all you multigender attracted peeps out there, and anyone else who wants to listen in. On tonight's special edition of Representation Hour, I've taken over from Jen for just the one show. It's my first time doing a show by myself in the studio. It's a bit different, isn't it? I've just been talking about one of my bi-cons, the very bisexual, polyamorous, feminist writer, Virginia Woolf. And that song was Virginia Woolf by Indigo Girls, which was really lovely. And I actually got a bit teary during that. So if my voice sounds a little funny, that's why. I think that really beautiful. Now, I have got some messages in during that, which was spot on bi-con Virginia Woolf was a genius and a passionate advocate for women. I definitely need to read Orlando. That's from Sarah. Me too, Sarah. I have seen the movie. Such a terrible excuse now, isn't it? And also we got a message from Clario, which was really lovely. And basically saying that I'm a bi-con and that I can't deny that. So thank you, Clario. I think you are too. Just so you all know, Clario is going to be doing a show in Midsummer called, I think it's called Am I Queer Enough? Or Queer Enough to Enter? Basically the dilemma of not quite feeling like we're queer enough to fit in. You can catch that on the 31st of January. I'll be posting some information about that on our page and we'll be chatting with Clario later in the upcoming months. So stay tuned for that one. So if you've just tuned in now and wondering what's going on, don't forget you can join the conversation anytime you want. Just text me on 0427 569 949 or email me at onair@joy.org.au. You can also find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy, also Twitter at Triple Bypass and on Instagram at Triple Bypass Joy. Now, the next bi-con I want to talk to you about is quite a well-known one, I think, by this point. In fact, I almost didn't include her just because I felt that Jen has talked about her before and I think there's been so many incredible articles written about her. But I'm talking, of course, about the extremely badass and extremely soft-hearted Rosa Diaz. Now, Rosa Diaz is one of the detectives in the hilarious show Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which was recently renewed for another season, which is extremely exciting, after being cancelled after its fifth. And one of the reasons I think I personally was so crushed when I heard it had been cancelled and so excited when I heard it was coming back was because Rosa Diaz comes out as bi in season 5. And for all that there have been other characters that have shown or demonstrated multigender attraction in television before, and if you'd like to hear more about them, please check out Jen's previous episodes of The Representation Hour at joy.org.au/triple bypass for all of our podcasts there. But Rosa Diaz was the first one I ever saw that felt like it spoke to my story. Like it spoke to the stories of all the bi and pan people I knew. And that was because she was a real person and because by the time she came out, she'd already been cemented in that. So this is going to be a little spoiler heavy, so I do apologise. And if you do want to watch season 5 of Brooklyn Nine-Nine or think it's a great show and you have by some miracle not heard about Rosa Diaz being bisexual, then sorry to spoil that for you. But in season 5 and one of the later episodes called Nine-Nine, Rosa, who has throughout the previous four and a half seasons been seen and in relationships with men and talked about men, is on the phone to someone and says that she'd much rather be off with them. And one of the other detectives sees her and asks if that's her boyfriend. And her face does this freeze. And then later on, her friend Boyle keeps on asking and pushing for details of this boyfriend. And finally, he hears a woman's voice on the phone. And Rosa looks to him and just says very bluntly, "It's a girl, I have a girlfriend, I'm bi. I don't want to talk about it." And I just thought, that's basically it, isn't it? That's generally how coming out tends to go for me. I know that for a lot of people, that people tend to make assumptions based on how you look or who you've dated previously. And so they'll hear you on the phone or talking about a partner, and unless you specify, they'll jump to conclusions and you have to then correct them and explain, "No, I'm bi." But what really struck me when I watched this and what struck me like lightning right through my chest was that I had actually never seen that before. I'd never seen a woman or a femme-presenting person just say, "I'm dating a girl, I'm bi," basically say, "I'm bi" before ever, really. And that really just, it's hard to explain how much that meant because it shows just the kind of frustration of knowing that you have to explain it, where for me, my relationships have always felt the same. And you could see that with Rosa, where she dated men and that hadn't been a big deal, but this would be, not because of a difference in her feelings towards this woman she was dating, but because of the different connotations of showing any kind of same-sex attraction, of declaring yourself as part of the LGBT community. And I say LGBT because in the United States, the intersex community is separate, and that is by their choice. So that's how I've been referring to it. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. If I have gotten that wrong, please let me know, and I'll do what I can to fix it. But with Rosa, in the next few episodes, they start to deal with one of her friends knowing it's going to come out. And while they actually do find ways to make even that quite lighthearted, with Boyle saying, "Bye, I didn't mean, oh gosh, not like that. I mean, bye, oh no, oh gosh." when she finally, she gets her friends around and she says it just again, very much in that sense of Rosa is a deeply private person throughout the entire show. By the way, for those of you who are not familiar with her character, she's extremely private. She does not like any of her colleagues knowing anything about her outside of her work. In fact, she mentions having to move as soon as they find out where she lives, or and shares that often with the Captain Holt, who is a gay man. And what really was interesting about this was her just saying that she was bi and it was no big deal. She wanted to move through. And her friends not having a problem with it, but also showing that that doesn't mean that her family didn't. And that, I felt, again, was really speaking to a part of being bisexual, multigender attracted. We don't really see represented. We don't really get to see it being okay but not. And this I don't think is just about bisexual characters. I think this is about LGBTIQA plus characters in general. We either get just the goodness or just the suffering. There's never really a look at how our lives are generally this wonderful, complicated mix of both. But at first, her family aren't okay with it, but then they say they are because it's just a phase and she's going to end up with a man. And when she finally says, I'm seeing a woman now and that's I might end up with a woman and that's how it is, it does cause a lot of problems. But at the very end of that episode where she's no longer able to go and have game nights with her family, her new family, her chosen family, her work family, come to her home with board games to replace it. And Captain Holt, who would have some understanding of that struggle, just says, every time someone is willing to be open and honest about who they are, they make the world a more interesting and better place. And I just sat in my room and bawled my eyes out. I'm actually crying right now thinking about it, because seeing that camaraderie as well from a gay man towards a bisexual woman and understanding the similarity of struggles was again something that I felt that felt deeply cathartic. And I think a lot of people felt that way. And then, of course, it got funnier because she does see a woman and she gets very awkward around her, and then she has her friend be like, anyone you meet might be a potential partner. And she says, did you look up an article about how to talk to your bisexual friend? Are there articles about that? People need to read those before they talk to me more. But Rosa Diaz has been one of the most important bi characters I've ever seen. And I think one of a stepping stone, and she's also played by a bisexual actress, which is maybe why she's so nuanced and so well put together. Stephanie Beatrix, who recently wrote an article that was Bi Till I Die, how she's marrying a man that doesn't change her sexuality, who's been an open and passionate advocate, who's marched with AmBi, the bi groups in the United States Pride marches, who's obviously thrown herself in and who understood the importance of getting the word out there, of having a character say, I'm bi, because it shouldn't be so hard, but we've waited such a long time to have it. And hopefully this is the start of a whole new wave of bi women coming through. But for that, Rosa Diaz is one of my bi cons. And this song I found on a playlist about her, which is also written by another bisexual person. And this song is Angel on Fire by Halsey. This is Triple Bypass. You're listening to Joy.
I woke up to an arrogant mess in the living room. Broken bottles all around my feet. They came again in the night on the crescent moon. Didn't wake me in my sleep. Cause they talk and drink and laugh about things and fall in love in my backyard. I hide and cower in the corner, conversations getting hard. Cause nobody seems to ask about me anymore. And nobody seems to care about anything I think. Recognize me in the crowd, in the background screaming, everybody look at me. Too cool.
closely to the sun that's setting in the east, and now I'm melting from my wings. Cause I'd laugh and drink and talk about things and fall in love in my backyard. Now it's my own anxiety that makes the conversation hard. Cause nobody seems to ask about me anymore, and nobody ever cares about anything I think, and nobody seems to recognize me in the crowd, in the background screaming, everybody look at me.
That's right, you're listening to Joy 94.9 and you've tuned in or are still listening to Triple Bypass. This is the show by the bi community, for the bi community, of course also for pansexual, polysexual, multigender attracted peeps, anyone who just likes to hear a decent chat and some good music. That, speaking of good music, was Angel on Fire by Hazley, and that was a song I picked to represent one of my bi cons for this evening's edition of the Representation Hour, a show where we look at bisexual representation in pop culture and history. And my last one was Rosa Diaz. And before that, I chatted about the writer and very bisexual polyamorous feminist Virginia Woolf. If you just tuned in and would like to hear more about those, don't worry, I'll have a podcast up soon at joy.org.au/triple bypass. And if you've been enjoying the show so far, and if you've got any bi-cons, please let me know. Just send me a message on 0427JOY949 or an email at onair@joy.org.au. And just to make it clear, a bi-con can be really any kind of representation that has made you feel celebrated or has shown you a path that you maybe didn't think was possible for you as a multigender attracted person, or just made you laugh in a way that felt good and healthy. The best kinds of laughs. So we're moving on now with me onto my third bi-con for the evening, and it's going quite quickly. This is my first time filling in for the wonderful Jen, who does the Representation Hour on the last Tuesday of every month. So I hope I've been doing all right. I've been enjoying it a lot though. As you might have been able to tell from our regular programming, I do love to talk. Now, my bi-con to move on, number three, is Rebecca Sugar. Rebecca Sugar, you might not have seen on television because she's not on television, but she's very involved in it. Rebecca Sugar is a bisexual, non-binary woman and the writer and creator of Steven Universe, a cartoon on Cartoon Network. There's never been anything on television that's quite like Steven Universe, or at least there hasn't been. It has really been a groundbreaking show for a lot of reasons. And that show, which it made its debut in 2013, came from Rebecca Sugar after she'd been writing on Adventure Time. And she's the first woman to create a show for that channel. And it follows the story of the Crystal Gems, which is a race of alien femme heroes who've remained on Earth to guard it after attempted takeover by other members of their species. And together they take care of Steven, a half-gem, half-human boy who alone bridges the gap between the gem homeworld and humans. And at first, I thought I was going to be talking about one of the characters on the show because this show has meant a lot to me and there are so many queer characters. But once again, typically, I couldn't actually choose just one. And the fact that I couldn't choose which one of these, which queer character to choose from a children's show reminded me just how truly special this show is and has been and continues to be for so many people, and particularly for the LGBTIQA+ community. And I wouldn't say I'd taken this for granted. I had been aware it was very new to see this, to see so much open, quite clearly non-heterosexual content, and to know that it was in a G-rated show. But I hadn't really recognised how much work Rebecca had put into this show. until she came out with an interview in August this year. Now, Rebecca had already started to work, to push her way into my BiCon register by coming out first as being openly bisexual and then also of talking about being a non-binary woman and claiming that title, particularly in the fact that she understands that she's read as a woman and that doesn't really bother her, but she knows what she is and that's not really quite all that she covers. So in this interview, though, Rebecca talked about the work it had taken to ensure that Steven Universe had the content it did and the really, really huge amounts of effort that she had to put in to basically creating a show that just recently featured the first ever same-sex wedding on a cartoon show in history that I'm aware of. I might be wrong about that. If I am, you can always let me know. I just got another message. Anyone listening to the show would consider the host as bi-cons. I know I do, from Nick. Oh, you're making me. You're giving me a lot of feelings in the best possible way. And talking about people who I care, like who I really admire, it's already giving me feelings. So this is just a big love fest, and I'm loving it so much. And I will pass that on to Anthony, James, and Jen, and to all the incredible people who've come on the show, including Lou, our podcaster. But back to Rebecca Sugar. Rebecca Sugar talked a lot about how growing up and working on shows like Adventure Time, she was part of this generation that wasn't really aware of just how many rules had been left over. And I think we can, a lot of us who've grown up can attest to that, because while we might have experienced our own issues with, you know, marginalization as any kind of same-sex attracted people or gender diverse or anything that fell out of hetero cis normativity, I don't think we really fully registered just how much negativity there was towards us, maybe until the last few years where Australia had that really awful and open and ugly debate around whether we deserved to be treated like everybody else or not. And Rebecca talks about hitting, when she started to work on this show, she suddenly started to hit up against the invisible wall that is the censorship laws of children's television, where same-sex romance is still considered to be mature content. And that was what she was trying to change. And she said that when she started working on Adventure Time, she became more aware of what we're really saying by excluding characters. What we're really saying when we basically say that this is for adults, and it has been very, very hard for that to happen. And I think it's been, basically, the thing that was presented to me, there were certain things that they could do when they were on a PG show. So parental guidance recommended, or in the United States, it's 13 or plus, but they couldn't do on a G show. And it struck her just how critical it has to be to make sure that there are LGBTQIA plus characters in G-rated content, that there is that G-rating was saying everything, because as long as certain people are saying some people are inappropriate for families and children, there is no equality. And when we're keeping very young children from seeing these things, especially if those young children are LGBTQIA+, if they're queer kids, you're telling them directly that they don't belong in a family-friendly world. And Rebecca talks about a number of other animators beginning to feel like an emergency and beginning to really grasp the damage that it does when we let children know that they don't belong, when that you can't wait until they've grown up to tell them. Because you have to tell them when they're still children that they deserve love and their stories of love deserve support, and that, when, and sorry, even talking about this makes me quite emotional, because I had never really realised until I got older the damage that it does do when you look back and think about how, given how often we've watched Disney movies where lions are being run over by stampeding wildebeests and princes are kissing unconscious women, and that is all G for general audience. And yet, in High School Musical, when one of the actors talked about him potentially being gay, Disney said it wasn't appropriate for children. As if this, and Rebecca is one of my bi-cons, not just for the show, but for the work that she clearly has done, and for her, and for the understanding that she has, and for sharing that understanding, because she's been very open about it and she explained it in ways that I hadn't really understood in myself. Because it's true, when you tell children that their stories aren't worthwhile, that they are not appropriate, you're basically telling them that they don't belong. And when they get older, they will think that they're inappropriate. And they'll have a really good reason to think that because they'll have been told that from childhood. And as difficult as that can be to think of how far we still have to go, knowing that Rebecca spent years building and pushing and slowly edging closer, and that after every episode that included any kind of same-sex suggestive content, she had to go in for a meeting with the executives and explain. In fact, that after she aired the episode with the wedding, she had to go in for a meeting and be told, "We support what you do, but we might have to end the show." She said that she was okay with that by that point, and that she felt free in a way that she hadn't for a very long time, because the two characters that get married were actually based on Rebecca and her partner, and she'd been fighting for them that whole time. And I don't know, if that doesn't make you a bicon, I'm not sure what is, because it's truth, isn't it? What we all need to be able to look at is to see ourselves and to know that our stories matter and that we matter. So Rebecca's my bicon because she gave us some of that. I'll be going on to my very last bicon after this short break, so stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass and you're on Joy.
This is Garnet, back together. And I'm never going down at the hands of the likes of you, because I'm so much better. And every part of me is saying go get her. The two of us ain't gonna follow your rules. Come at me without any of your fancy tools. Let's go, just me and you. Let's go, just one on two. Go ahead and try and hit me if you're able. Can't you see that my relationship is stable? I can see you hate the way we intermingle. But I think you're just mad cause you're single. And you're not gonna stop what we made together. Apart. We're just gonna make you up, and we'll always be twice the gem that you were. I am a
That's right, you're listening to Joy 94.9, and that was Stronger Than You, a song sung by Estelle that was first featured in the show Steven Universe, written by Rebecca Sugar. You're listening to Triple Bypass, Representation Hour. My name's Ruby, and I've been talking through my bicons for this special edition of our monthly special show. Everything special tonight. It's been a pretty special night. I may have just been crying a fair bit. In a very good way, I've been talking tonight about my bicons. These are people who happen to be bisexual, but have inspired me through their work, through their actions, and often through just being themselves and showing me all the different ways that I can live my life and celebrate my sexuality and all the possibilities that there are in front of me. I am really very much hoping that as we move forward, we'll be able to see more and more of these people start to spring up, because there is such an incredible list. But so far, mine tonight has been, I started off the show with Virginia Woolf and then moved on to Rosa Diaz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and just talked about Rebecca Sugar, the creator of Steven Universe, and also the first woman to create a show for the show Cartoon Network, which recently featured the first ever same-sex wedding in a G-rated television program. And Rebecca's tireless work in trying to push for LGBTI inclusion on children-friendly programs, because we all deserve to see our stories. I'm going to be close to wrapping up the show tonight. Now, of course, stay tuned afterwards, because then we've got Local Roots with Jason, who is a pre-record, because Jason's over at the ARIA is the lucky thing. But my very final bi-con tonight is Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is, of course, quite an iconic character, one of the big three of the DC world, so Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. She was first created by the inventor of the lie detector test and his wife, she is basically part of an Amazon tribe of who grew up in paradise in an all-woman island, and then she moves to Earth, and well, already on Earth, but when we find out, she moves to live among human beings in our society and brings with her a huge amount of strength. So Princess Diana is her other name, or Diana Prince when she's undercover. And she is something quite special. And it wasn't until quite recently that it really came out that she was bisexual. Now, before then, people had alluded to it because she did spend a lot of her life on an island that was just women. And as her own creator said, the Amazonian superhero is bisexual. Now, this only came out by DC Comics writer Greg Rucka in 2016. And his interview and discussion of it was really thoughtful, because he talks about how in a heteronormative world, unless LGBTI characters are very clearly outlined, it's very easy to miss or to question if they're representation at all. But his own words in this exact interview was, has Diana been in love and had relationships with other women as well as men? The answer is obviously yes. And as he pointed out, what was interesting about Wonder Woman is that it can be difficult from a queer woman's perspective that we demand explicitness and representation. And Robert Jones, who's quite known as Son of Baldwin, a queer cultural critic, talks about how the heterosexist gaze that denies any queerness that isn't spelt out by an oral declaration or visible sexual intercourse is quite a dangerous trap for readers, because it continues to bind this idea that everyone has to prove themselves to be non-straight. I have a lot of mixed feelings around that, I suppose. I do enjoy having clear and canonical representation, mostly because I think it's just so easy to have things glossed over, which can also impact on how we feel about our sexuality and our sexual encounters, particularly for those of us who are multigender attracted. I just got another message in, sorry. Would it be selfish of me to say that in 20 years I hope I get to be considered for this amazing list? That's from Nick. I don't think that's selfish at all. And I think that kind of aspiration, I would love to be a bi-con one day. I think we all want to be. And I'm pretty sure you would be, because that's the thing. When the pool is so small, being out and being proud of who you are as a bisexual or pansexual person makes you a bi-con in my books any day of the week. It's not easy, but it's so worth it. And there's some pretty great trailblazers in front of us. Some of them aren't even real, but they're real to us. And that I am talking about Wonder Woman, if that wasn't clear. Sorry. And Rosa Diaz. If you've got some bi-cons, or if you'd like to be considered for a bi-con and would like to tell me why, just message on 0427-JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Wonder Woman was actually created in 1941, but then she was on a hiatus for about 40 years. But what was what's special about Wonder Woman is not just her bisexuality, because don't get me wrong, I very much have enjoyed knowing that she is canonically bisexual in the writers' minds particularly. But Wonder Woman is incredible because, well, firstly, she was created by a kinky, polyamorous man and his wife and their third partner. though that man did also have some rather puzzling views, which I don't really agree with, which is around women being mentally superior to men but deeply submissive, which you can kind of see in the fact that Wonder Woman's big weakness is that she could be rendered powerless by being tied up by a man. It's a bit obvious when you say it out loud, isn't it? But that was William Moulton Marston. So he first published Wonder Woman. Now, I suppose there's also, I always think it's interesting when you look at the origins of these characters because, you know, in 1941, to be a man who was involved in the kink scene, to have a happily triad polyamorous relationship, and to be quite feminist in some ways was quite extraordinary. And Wonder Woman was an extraordinary character and continues to be. In fact, it's the reason why Wonder Woman's movie that came out last year has really been the only successful DC film. Because what DC does, and the difference between DC and Marvel, and for those of you who are not as invested in those films and those movies, Marvel is the successful films. So Marvel is Captain America, it is the X-Men, Black Widow, while DC is Batman and Green Lantern and Wonder Woman. So Marvel is about how humans learn to deal with being gods, so when they get powers. While DC, when it's at its best, has always been about how gods learn to be people. And the film that came out last year, Wonder Woman's film, really did that perfectly, because Wonder Woman Diana comes from paradise, and she's thrust into the middle of humanity in all its ugliness, with its, you know, and its sexism. And despite that, she loves us. In fact, Diana carries a huge amount and compassion for love, something that is explored quite often in the comics as well. But one of the things that really stuck with me, and again, this was just from the films, which made her a bicon to me, was because at one point she does really question if humanity deserves to have this incredibly superpowered demigod fighting for them. And she realises it's not really about if they deserve it or not, it's because they try. And for that, they deserve defence and they deserve her love. And I think a lot of us in the LGBTQIA+ community, and particularly in my experience for bisexual people and pansexual people, and those of us who often feel like we're not quite enough, it's not about what we deserve. It's about the fact that we're trying, and that is worth fighting for. That we don't always have to get it right, and that our communities don't always have to get it right. That does not mean we don't stop fighting for them either. And that's why Wonder Woman is my final bicon for the evening. Now, we'll be resuming regular programming as of next week. We'll be back on the show with the rest of us. We'll be having Delcy, the mama unicorn herself, to talk about accessible partying and the upcoming Unicorns Festival, which is still available, which will be happening in February, the first ever, which is extremely exciting. But I'm going to leave you now with a final song before we go to Local Roots. Again, if you've enjoyed listening to the show, make sure you check out the rest of our stuff. Our podcasts are available at joy.org.au/triplebypass. And if you do enjoy it, make sure maybe you can send it to a friend who might also like to enjoy listening. They don't need to be biopan. After all, everyone can learn about us. It's always good to get to spread that understanding, education. But I do hope that you've been enjoying the program. We've been going on for over 2 years now. And I think sitting here in the studio by myself for the first time ever, I'm kind of aware of just how long that is. And gosh, what a wonderful journey to have with you all. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Stay tuned for Jason with Local Roots, bringing you the best of Aussie local music. This last song is by, you know, probably the fifth bicon on my list so I didn't get to. This is, of course, by Sia. And this song was for Wonder Woman to be human. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you're enjoying the rest of your evening. This is Triple Bypass, and you're listening on Joy.
Skies that big, set it high. I felt you walk right through me. You're the thing that I invoke. My old persistent ghost sent to make me crazy.
And oh, it's hard now. Yeah. The time.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.